You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Among the hundreds of new laws that have gone into effect in 2024, several deal with public safety. As we continue our annual breakdown of new laws, today we're going to take a look at two specific pieces of legislation related to policing and driving on California roads, which impacts many drivers across the state. One changes the way a police officer can interact with a driver during a traffic stop, and the other launches a pilot program that installs speeding cameras in certain California cities. CAP Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon joins us now with more about these laws, as well as additional updates on business at the state capitol in the new year. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Okay, so before we dive into these new laws, what were some of the major themes when it came to public safety within the California legislature last year?
I think the debate we saw kind of burst open in the legislature last year was really about criminal penalties. This goes back decades when California is at the forefront of this tough on crime mentality, that lock them up and throw away the key. Huge reversal since then. Democratic state leaders are, have really changed their tune on that. They're closing prisons. They're favoring rehabilitation. And they're very cautious about raising criminal penalties. This was a big debate last year, especially when it came to retail theft and fentanyl drug dealers. So I think that that's something we'll continue to see this year. They've kind of worked around the edges. But I think this debate over whether to raise criminal penalties for certain issues will continue. And there's a racial justice element to that also. That big question will be, will they approve stiffer criminal penalties in certain cases? And a lot of lawmakers in that criminal justice camp are very reluctant to do that. So I think that's the big sort of debate as far as public safety right now.
When it came to new laws for this year, you focused on two. The first one was Assembly Bill 2773, and it deals with traffic stops by law enforcement. So what does this change?
Well, it changes the very first interaction you have with the police officer, the first thing they say to you. And this applies to pedestrian and traffic stops. So that changes. If you're stopped by an officer, they can no longer come up to you and ask you, "Do you know why I stopped you?" They'll have to state the reason for the stop before they ask you any questions.
What prompted this change?
Well, it's meant to reduce racial profiling and escalation, two very big issues in policing over the past few years. I looked at a recent study that analyzed body camera footage of more than 500 police interactions with Black drivers. It found that the very first verbal exchanges can influence the outcome of a stop. So if an officer issues a command in the first 45 words, that stop is more likely to escalate in a handcuffing or an arrest. If the officer states the reason for the stop at the outset, that interaction is much less likely to result in any sort of escalation.
And this really focuses on, as you said, the first words that said between an officer and a driver or a pedestrian. Does this law have any other major changes?
There's a data tracking element of this. The other requirement is a police officer will have to tell you the reason for the stop, and that will have to match the reason given on any issued citation. That will go to you. That information will also go to the state for law enforcement agencies that report to the Attorney General's office.
Are there any exceptions?
Yes. If an officer believes there's an imminent threat to life or property, I think, this law is really aimed at those routine stops. It's less about what happens if police are after or catch an armed suspect or something like that.
This is obviously now, it is cemented as it is a new state law, but as it was moving through the legislature, was there any pushback or criticism?
There was a little bit of pushback from some law enforcement groups. They argued that gathering information at the outset of a stop is important for assessing risk and safety. They argued in an opposition letter that the bill is so strict that it prohibits an officer from asking for a person's ID or even asking a person to turn off their vehicle's ignition prior to disclosing the reason for the stop. And, they said that gathering that information is important for safety for everybody.
Given that there are some exceptions when an officer wouldn't have to disclose why they are stopping someone, how will the state or any governing agency monitor compliance with this new law?
I think that's the big question. The state requires or wants law enforcement agencies to report a lot of information to the state every year. And you don't always see agencies doing that. Some of it is required by law. Some of it is just they want this info, they ask for it. But agencies are not necessarily giving that information. So that is kind of a blind spot mm-hmm. in some of the areas here.
If it's found that, you know, an agency or a department isn't in compliance, are there consequences?
That's a good question.
We'll have to wait and see, right? It's January 3rd.
Yeah, just went into effect.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon about new public safety laws that are now in effect in California. So the other public safety law in effect is Assembly Bill 645. And that actually is launching a new pilot program in some California cities to curb speeding on surface roads. So tell us about it.
Yeah, this authorizes six cities in the Bay Area and Southern California to install cameras that will automatically ticket drivers that are speeding. So capture a speeding violation and send off a ticket. It's similar to a law that already allows cities to set up these cameras for red light violations. Mm.
And is this happening like on a freeway or is it's actually just in neighborhoods, right?
Correct. These cameras are not allowed on freeways. They're only allowed on city roads in specific areas like school zones, safety corridors, areas that the city has already determined where speeding is a concern to really target certain areas.
So when is fast too fast? What's the rule?
Yeah, the penalties are kind of on a sliding scale here. So $50 violation if you're going 11 to 15 miles an hour, you won't get a ticket for anything under 10 or under, I guess, you know, $100 for 16 to 25 miles an hour over the speed limit, all the way up to $500 ticket for going 100 miles an hour over the speed limit, which on a city street is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to, I mean, we already have, you know, this basic speed law, like we see, like, you know, when you're driving past a school or whatever, how fast you should be going, given the conditions. So what was the argument for installing this pilot, these speeding cameras?
Right. Well, I think because it's a pilot, you know, there's an element of wanting to gather information, start small and see how it works. So, first of all, supporters of this bill argue that the cameras reduce speeding. They point to data gathered by the National Transportation Safety Board that shows that in cities that where these cameras are posted, they've reduced speeding violations and crashes resulting in injuries from anywhere from 8% to like 49%. So there is an argument that these, you know, save lives. And the other part of this bill is that the cities have to collect data and show that they work. So there's a lot of data reporting required about how much speeding violations and traffic incidents are reduced. I think the state will look at that data in a few years and decide where to go from there, whether to expand this program or not.
Was there any criticism or pushback for this new law?
Yes. There were a few groups, the ACLU and Human Rights Watch, which wrote some letters opposed to this bill. They listed concerns that the bill would entrench surveillance in certain communities, especially communities where more people of color live. Also that the cameras could violate privacy. The Human Rights Watch pointed to a similar program in Chicago where they say between 2015 and 2019, speed cameras ticketed households in majority Black and Latinx zip codes at twice the rate of majority white zip codes. And the author of this bill said there are provisions to require these cameras be placed in areas that are geographically and socioeconomically diverse. And then as far as the privacy issues goes, the bill requires cameras to be angled in a specific way so it captures just the back of the vehicle and not identifying information for drivers. But some of these critics say that's vague and they're skeptical that will actually protect anyone's privacy.
Yeah, and that's why that data is important because this is a pilot. So how long is this pilot going to last?
Yeah, it goes until 2032 or 5 years. So the law's in effect now. The cities are free to set up these programs, but I think it'll take some time for them to, you know, make sure they're in compliance with all the rules, actually place the cameras. So we may not see that right away, but they have 5 years to have these installed and gather that data.
I mean, I think about like red light cameras, you know, when they first started, you know, they started small and then now they're pretty much found statewide. So there is a potential that this could expand in the coming years.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, I'm reminded of sometimes I'm using my Maps app and I'm alerted that there's a red light camera ahead. These speeding cameras also have to be posted and drivers are notified that they're going to be there.
Mm. You know, finally, Nicole, I mean, you have covered a lot of pieces of legislation. There was, you know, like, I mean, 800 bills that were signed into law and way more that were introduced. So, I mean, it wasn't just about public safety. You also covered a lot of other themes when it came to labor, workplace safety. So what are the highlights of the new changes there?
Yeah, a lot of new laws benefiting workers this year. I think the minimum wage is now $16 an hour, highest minimum wage in the country. Beginning in April, fast food workers are going to get their minimum wage bumped up to $20 an hour. There are concerns about how high that is and that it could lead to more automation and fewer jobs in that sector. But they are celebrating that win. Required paid sick leave goes up this year from a minimum of 3 days to 5 days that employers have to give workers. And there's now a ban on penalizing workers for their cannabis use outside the job. The only exceptions here are federal workers and construction workers were left out of that law.
Given that we have a new year and the legislature is going to be back in session, I mean, what are some of the themes that you're looking at, especially when it comes, last year was like the year of labor. So do you think that's going to be a continuation of that this year?
I think, well, labor got a lot of wins last year. I think it's hard to say. There's this big budget deficit hanging over state lawmakers this year. I think lawmakers are facing a lot of pressure to regulate AI, social media. There were some bills to place limits on social media companies last year that did not make it. They stalled out. So lawmakers have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes on those two issues. I think they're feeling the pressure to act, especially as other states have been passing bills to, you know, limit when kids are on social media, require age verification and parental consent and all of that.
Yeah. And I imagine just next week, the governor's expected to announce, you know, some revisions and cuts in light of this projected deficit. You joined us about it. It's like $68 billion. So I imagine you're closely following, you know, what big changes are in store and cuts are in store for the state.
Yeah, exactly. I think that will be the big topic for the next few months, at least, is what's on the chopping block for the $68 billion budget deficit.
Nicole, thank you.
Thank you.
Nicole Nixon is Cap Radio's politics reporter. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.